The one thing I've learned that's helped me overcome or keep going, and I learned this from Amina Gerba, who's the only Black woman in the Senate here in Canada. She said something, and she said, "True influence is service." And when she said that, I was like, "Oh yeah." What I always try and turn to is, how can I serve? Whether it's serve the younger version of me, like what would I have needed at this time, or the person who's in front of me, what can I give them so that when they turn around, they have a tool to move forward in a better way.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Modern Day Unicorns. Today, I have somebody that I literally saw in my timeline and had to reach out because I was super impressed with her quality of work and the information that she was giving. Even lately, I'm saving all of her posts, and I'm super excited to have Afuali, I hope I said it correctly, here with me today. And I'm looking forward to getting to know more about you and sharing this information with our audience. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Abby.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Now, like I said, we are strangers to one another, but that is one of the things I love about technology. It takes people in two different places and it brings them together to be able to form a community and information and just share about their lives. So could you please tell us more about yourself, where you're from, and what you're currently doing?
Sure, that's a big question. Because it can go in so many directions. But so my name is Afuali. I'm originally from Cameroon, which is a country in Central West Africa. I grew up in seven different countries, graduated from high school in Madagascar, which is an island off the coast of the African continent. And then I came to Canada, specifically Montreal, in 2014 to pursue a bachelor's degree in translation, which is very different from what I'm doing today. And at the end of my first year of translation, I got an internship. Through that internship, I realized that translation was not for me, hence why I'm not doing it today. But luckily, I also discovered YouTube as a platform, and I was just so drawn to the idea of people being able to pick up a camera, tell their story, and then put it out onto the internet, and then I would watch it. And that sparked curiosity as to, like, how do people do this? Like, what cameras are they using? How can I maybe tell my story online? And that's how I bought my first camera and, like, started creating videos. And again, everything I'm doing today stems from just curiosity. As I created videos, I look into, okay, how do I get my background to be blurry? How does that person's light look like that? How come my videos sound really bad, but that person sounds really good? And that's how over time I became more professional, we could say, but I just became better at creating videos. In 2019, I decided to make it a little bit more formal. I created a video production company called 916 Stories. It started off with just the vertical video format, 916. We started off creating Instagram stories for festivals and events around Montreal, the city that I'm in, and it transitioned to more 16 by 9 videos, so horizontal videos, because most people were like, yeah, we like stories and vertical videos, but we also want horizontal videos. So that's what I do here in Montreal for small and medium-sized businesses. And simultaneously, I just share everything that I learn as I go, because when I started, there weren't a lot of people sharing how to do these things. There was a lot of, you watch someone's video for days and you're like, I think I know how to do that. Yeah. And we connected through me sharing the things I learned and being curious as I was since the beginning of this journey.
That was a mouthful, but
It was.
amazing mouthful that I probably wouldn't have gotten just scrolling through your timeline. So that's dope. Seven different countries. Could you tell us the countries?
Sure. So I was born in Cameroon. Then we moved to Chad, which is another African country. Then we went to Haiti, which is in the Caribbean. Then we came back to the African continent. I lived in Mali, in Angola, in Mozambique, in Madagascar. And there's one more that I'm missing, Zambia.
So I'm going to ask a question that if you lived in the States, this is what they would ask you for moving all the time.
Yeah.
They'd be, is your par are your parents in the military?
They are not, no.
Because that's what I like
No.
when I said, oh, I've moved there. They're like, oh, are your parents in the military? Is there a reason why you all, and I'm guessing from that moving, that translation and all those different languages probably sparked your interest, but further education let you know that it's not for you. But why did y'all move so much?
So it is linked to my parents' profession, specifically my dad. So he works for the United Nations. And so every 1 to 4 years, it's like, let's go somewhere else. And yes, the reason why I decided to go into translation is because through moving to those different countries, by the end of my high school, I could speak English, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. And I had an uncle who was a translator, and he was doing great for himself. So I was like, yo, I don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm gonna just do what he's doing and use these languages. And that was it.
That's amazing. Do you create any content in other languages?
Not yet.
Okay. The fact that
Actually,
you
no, I
got
take it back. I take it back. I lied. I lied. I have done workshops in French, but I've never actually, and I've done like conversations like this in French, but I haven't intentionally been like, okay, no, now the same video I've done in English, I'm going to take the time to make it in Spanish, in Portuguese, in French. And to be honest, maybe with AI, I don't even have to re-record it. I just need to get someone to dub my videos.
There's that. I'm like, you're like a quadruple edged sword with all of that information. Like, that's super dope. That is super dope. And so you kind of covered already what sparked your interest with YouTube. So I'm assuming you have a YouTube channel as well.
So I started on YouTube. That's how I started creating videos, sharing vlogs. Like, hey, these are my friends. Hey, these are my chickens. Literally, these are my chickens. And that kind of, my experience on YouTube became a little bit sour. And I think it's just the stage in life that I was in, and also how well I knew myself. I didn't know who I was enough to be able to maintain that relationship with the internet. What I mean by that specifically is I was sharing so much of my life that people would watch it and feel very close to me. And so let's say I'm in a relationship with someone, in 1 month they're like, I love you. I'm like, bro, hey, like I just met you. And I started to understand that it's because they were seeing so much of me, but I wasn't seeing anything of theirs because I was sharing videos online. So that's the reason why I kind of like dialed it back. And then focus more on creating videos for other people. So yes, I have a YouTube channel. I just haven't posted on it very consistently in a long time. But I'll be very honest, I'm getting to a point where I know who I am. I know how I want to present myself to the world on the internet, and I'm moving back towards YouTube. I'm like, okay, if I wanted to put videos on YouTube, I know what I want to talk about and feel comfortable having people consume like excessively.
Well, to be honest, that is something that people don't address enough. I've had the same sentiments about being present online on these various forms of media and things of that nature to determine how much of my life I want to share with other individuals. So I commend you for that. And my love-hate relationship with YouTube has been that too, because we get so many examples of people like, oh, I'm gonna do a vlog about my life. And I was like, I don't want to talk to my camera in public. It's weird. And then, I through COVID, I'm a former educator, PE teacher, and I was making videos and lessons for my kids and all that stuff online, but I got tired of that and editing green screen stuff and popping out of ceilings and breaking things and stuff like that was a lot for me to handle. And so even the consistency that I am developing with my YouTube channel has been more on content repurposing and content creation, and then me figuring out if I want to share something here and there. But like, I completely understand what you mean by just being so essentially available that you're just like, is this the person that I want people to think that they know?
And even if it is the person that you are knowing, because what I put out on the internet is me. It's a part of me. It's une facette. It's a perspective. Like there's many sides to a person, right? But the thing is that it's often a one-sided conversation. Because a lot of people watch you online, but they don't necessarily like things. They don't necessarily comment. So they don't even know that they're watching, right? So they're getting closer and closer to you, but you're right here and they're not sharing anything with you. So they'll see you and like, oh my gosh, and all this emotion and all this attachment, but you're like, I know nothing about you, right? And it's like, I'm sharing, I'm being authentic, but after a while, it's like, how many people do I want to basically let into my bedroom without knowing that I give them a key? But I'm curious to know, how did you find, if you have, how have you found the balance? Like to know, this is what I want to share, I don't want to share this, and when I share, this is what, how I can stay consistent.
I have adopted like the concept of let's say the magazine, if it was like a book or something like that, right? So if this is a book of my life, I said, okay, I'm just going to choose a couple things that I'm comfortable with out of these pages. And I chose like three pages. I said, cool, content creation, let's do travel, and then something else random. Like I literally was like, it was for balance sake, because we have so much life, and if I'm constantly trying to share everything in this book, I don't have time for myself, for the people that I'm supposed to be with, because I'm just like, do I capture this? Do I capture that? Do I capture this? And so when I gave myself permission to say, hey, Abby, you talk about content creation, you talk about a little bit of travel, then you share something random here and there, it helped me know when I could put my phone down. It helped me know when it was time for me to bring my camera, or if it was just like, no, this is for me, this is for us. And so by determining what aspects of my life and or career that I'm willing to share with other people, it's helping me groom my audience to expect certain things. But then when they get other stuff, it's a treat. So like on my stories, they might get where I am, you know, oh, I'm doing this. But on my feed, you're constantly going to get creation, repurposing, and then stuff about my podcast. That's what you can expect on the feed. Every now and then you get this and that, but it was literally to help me know when I could put my phone down, because it was becoming a lot.
Do you ever record moments with no intention of sharing it publicly?
Maybe. I think just to generate different memories, I can say that I've had concerns about what my memory will be in the future. And so there are some things that I might take for documentation purposes. There's a ton of stuff that I might have, and I'm just like, this ain't none of their business. Like I've decided to, you know, I limit the how much family I show. There's just certain things that, okay, so the other dynamic is I operate differently depending on the country that I'm in. So a little bit about me, I'm
Also.
from the US, but I live in the UAE. And so the dynamic is just different when it comes to it. So I'm a lot more reserved, even to the point of secretive, when I'm in the US, because I have to protect myself. So I might not post where I am at that present time as a safety measure. Whereas if I'm in the UAE and I'm on a boat somewhere, or I'm at the mall, I have less reservations of revealing where I am and maybe what I'm eating than if I was in the US. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. That's very interesting. And I wish I had a better way to describe how I'm receiving all this information. But the reason why I'm asking all of this is because I've been thinking a lot about our relationship with memories and how technology has affected the way we create memories or think of capturing memories, of documenting our lives, but also how the fact that most of the things we record is to put out onto the internet affects what we choose to record and how in the long run that will affect our memories. I read this article that was talking about how technology has actually affected our relationship with nostalgia and creating memories, and essentially was saying that before, when we didn't have access to a phone or a camera that would create the images instantly, the only way to tap into a memory or to have that feeling of nostalgia is if you went to a friend's house who had the album of all the photos y'all took together. You go to your aunt's house, your grandparents' house, or maybe you enter the car and they happen to play the song on the radio that you and your husband or your partner rather danced on your wedding night. And you're like, oh, I remember that, or prom night or whatever that was. That was how we accessed memories. But now we have your phone, right? So let's say I take a picture of us having this conversation. Now, the minute we end the conversation, I can go look at the picture. Or e beyond that, when I choose to pick up my phone to record a memory, my first thought, or some of us, one of our first thoughts are, how will people perceive this when I share this memory? And the less of us are thinking of just recording things to just have it in our archives. Because there's an artist here in Montreal. They said this thing, and I remember when they said, I was like, there's something here. I don't know what it is, but I think I'm tapping into it now. We're all ancestors in the making. Their name is Glozy. And when they said, I was like, that's really what we're doing here. We're capturing memories. It's just that we've added this layer of content creation and put it on the internet and make money and build my personal brand and gain status that has completely transformed what it is we're really doing. And I think taking away a lot of the essence of what capturing a memory should be. It's not necessarily to build status. It's just this, I'm living this life here and I won't be here forever. Maybe no one else will see it, but just I'm present. I want to document this. We move. Washing dishes, I don't know, when you meet the love of your life and I don't know, you send them a little flower. I don't know what it is, but not necessarily always to put it on the internet. And I'm sharing this because I'm trying to figure out the balance as well. To like, where do we draw the line? What's a memory? What's content?
You
is
said
everything
a key
content?
Word. You said a key word for me, and that was presence. I'll never forget my first time coming to Dubai. That's clearly we had no direction when it came to social media. Everything was unfiltered. But I found myself, I'm at the Dubai fountains, beautiful, and this is me. And I said, I'm live on like Instagram or something like that. And I said to Abby, you are here at the Dubai fountains, looking at the fountains through your phone, and it's right in front of you. And that's the moment when I said, okay, cool. I put that down and I looked at it with my own eyes. And so I'm at the point now where maybe some things I hope and I try to keep with my subconscious mind and not put it in my phone. Maybe it is just for me. And if God allows me to remember it, then that's great. But yes, it's very interesting to figure out what is yours and what it belongs to your friends or your family or your partner and what you allow the world to have access to. I don't have an answer either, but I think like it's moment by moment. Like when I go places, I think I'll just capture something because it's like to share with other people. Like you hear so much, oh, I'm living vicariously through you and yada, yada, yada. So it's just like, here's the pinpoints for you all and the rest is for me. Like, save your money and come yourself.
Yeah, that's really it. And the last thing that was on this article that was interesting is they questioned how we're evolving and are we living in a world where we're not creating new memories, but rather just living on replay of old memories? Because, for example, on Snapchat, you could open your Snapchat today if you're someone watching, you have Snapchat, or you, Abby, and you can just go February 21st, 2021. If you posted a snap, you can see what you were doing. And a lot of people just like look at their memories. And it's like, if we just all stay indoors and just like, look, what was I doing on this day 3 years ago? You don't live. You don't go outside and create new memories and not necessarily create as in capture them with your phone, but just like live, you know? Bref.
This conversation was needed. And I appreciate it because it is, I'm at another pivotal point in my career, if you will. This is like my second year as a full-time entrepreneur. And
congratulations.
I am.
The game ain't easy.
Listen, it's expensive out here. It's expensive. But it is to the point where it's just like, okay, how are you going to sustain this? I can't sustain it on just me, right? It has to be something that can live on. It has to be something that can bring and present and give value to people, you know, years from now. And so that's another thing that I'm exploring, trying to get all that together. But when it comes down to it, yeah, I have to do a better job as well of just balancing my time, my mind. I actually have a goal. My roommate makes me do like monthly goals or whatever. But I have a goal to find a tech-free hobby that doesn't involve me being on my computer or on my phone. In an effort to save my eyeballs, but then also allow me to tap into another area of creativity that I have to find a different way to manipulate something in order to understand it.
I like that a lot. Do you know what you'll choose?
No, not at all.
Idea?
Not at all.
She's like, I'm addicted to the screens.
It's terrible. I do want to. I want to start playing basketball again. That's a tech-free
Oh.
one that would make me run. So hopefully that door opens up again. But yeah, outside of that, I'm just like, and I'm an introvert too, so it's terrible. So I'm just like, I don't want to go outside and meet people. Ew. It's like, oh, what? It's like, but I
I
don't like
feel you.
reading that much either. So what else can I do?
I mean, you could color, you could paint, you could make things with your hands. There's so many things to do out here, man. There's so many things.
Gotta
And it's
put on my
interesting that you
skates.
it's interesting that you bring that up because I'm in the same wavelength, but kind of in the other direction. Like I want to explore my creativity in different ways. I'm so grateful to have discovered video and like let my curiosity drag me this deep into it, but I'm also so curious about so many other things. And I want to get to a point where I can share how I allow my creativity to travel just through the things I'm curious about. And not create only videos about this is how to create this video, but just create a video about how I don't know, made a table or like decided to go to Ghana to meet a dancer that I've been obsessed with. Like just different things, because life is more than just, or my life is more than just this is how to hold your phone, right? And I don't want to just be in that box. And at the same time, I love this so much. So I'm at a stage where I'm like, I need to be really consistent with this and build a foundation so I can move on to something else and not feel like in a box, you know?
I think one of the things that I've been trying to explore as well, when it comes to, because you do want to, present things to people in a way that is fun and exciting. And you hear all the time, like literally trying to understand how to tell a story, but figuring out the stories that you want to tell, how crazy you want to go with it, and all of that stuff. So I think sometimes I defeat myself because sometimes I feel like this story is bigger than me, and I'm just like, I don't think I can, complete this the way that it can be done. Being able to consume so much content and how you can do something sometimes can prevent you from doing it because I didn't do this. I gotta get the B-roll. I need to go to early. I need to have all these mics. And before you know, you got 30 pounds of equipment, and you're not getting the story the way that you want to, or people don't understand what you're asking for. So it's just like trying to find simple, relatable ways to tell a story that you want to share. But that's one of the things that I've been trying to do. Like when I go on vacation, if I know that I want to make content about the vacation, I'm trying to have the story in mind first so I can know what I'm gonna grab. I need 10 seconds of this, I need 1 minute of that, I need an interview with this person, blah 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 blah, and I come and put it together when I get back home. But that's been one of the biggest things for me, just like capturing things with the story in mind, and before I did it all backwards, of course. But instead of trying to piece together a story when you get back and like, I don't know what I'm saying. You were in Canada and you went to school for translation. But then you fell in love, and love if you will, with the information era and the digital era. What was that transition like? Or what, like, did you finish school and all of that stuff and then decide to go like left?
So I'm not a quitter. So I did finish school. I graduated and got my translation degree. I'm also from an African family, so there's no telling my mom, yeah, I quit. What? What? No. So I quit. Rather, sorry, I finished my degree. But as I was finishing, I was also still learning how to make videos. So it was either someone with a business or with an event, like, hey, please come and help me out to create this video. Or I'd reach out to people like, hey, I really want to try creating this thing. Will you let me shoot it? So that was dance videos, a lot of concerts, a lot of like fashion lookbooks. So basically the things that I was interested in. And so when I finished, I had some sort of a portfolio, or my the way people saw me, as in the thing you do, was video. It wasn't translation. I didn't talk about translation. That was like, by the time I finished, when Evan said I graduated and I have a translation degree, people are like, what? What do you mean you have a translation degree? Because the whole time, the last 3 years of my degree, I was just talking about video. So that's how I transitioned out of it.
Okay, well done, because I'm a person with a bunch of degrees that don't match what I'm doing either. But we make it work. All right, so when you started your business, what made you decide? So you were finishing your degree, or you finished your degree, you had already started doing work while you were in school. Have you ever had like a full-time job, like at an agency, or did you just continue to work for yourself and doing these various projects?
So for about the first year after my degree, I was just doing various projects. And one of those projects is a show concept that I created called Turn Up Tuesday, where essentially during the summer, I started off just sharing five soundtracks I liked every week. And then it transitioned into me inviting Montreal-based artists. I would record them sharing the music that shaped their lives. And it would be like episodes where I'd share online, that I share online. And that specific show got the attention of an empowerment media company here in Montreal. They sent me a message like, "Hey, we love what you're doing. Do you want a job?" So January 2021, is it January 2021? Yeah, January 2021, I became a video editor in their celebrity short documentary vertical called Life Stories, and the company is called Goalcast. They get about 500 million views every month across social media platforms. So I was in that vertical creating a short documentary about a celebrity that's overcome an incredible life challenge every 2 weeks. And those videos would go on Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, all social media platforms. And the goal of every single video was one, it needs to go viral. And two, it needs to be a story that empowers people to take on their lives and realize that they can live the impossible at the end of that story. So I worked there till August 2022. I was a video editor at first, then I transitioned into a video director. And then the last 6 months of my job there, I was doing more production coordination. That's what I did. And then August 2022, I realized I want to work on more original productions because GoCast predominantly does curation. Or at the time when I was there, was predominantly curation, meaning most of the things you'd see us put out, we didn't film. We just understood storytelling to a T, and we knew how to find the clips to put together in the right way to get that viral video that would empower people to live the impossible. So I decided to stop that journey, and here we are now.
That's dope. So like you were repurposing pro.
Yes, and it, yes, it was it's a team effort to work at that scale. Again, 500 million views a month is not. You don't do that alone. If you do that alone, I'd like to meet you. Because hello, I mean, if you look at people like Mr. Beast, he has a whole machine, right? It takes a system, it takes an engine to do that. But things I learned from that I think anybody watching this could apply to their own life is a movie or a story or a video is created in three stages: when you write it, when you shoot it, and when you edit it. And every stage like moves the story forward. But what's important to remember is that the first stage is when you write it. So like we were mentioning just earlier, when you try and create a story backwards, like you film everything and then you get in front of the camera like, "Yo, I don't know what I'm doing here." It's because you didn't write anything down. You don't know what the story you're trying to tell is. And within that company, the first thing we'd always do is we'd write. The first people who touched our stories were script writers before it went into editing, before it went to distribution. So write it first.
I love that. That's amazing. That's amazing. Listen, I feel like I'm holding you up. We got a couple more questions to go through, but I'm having such a great time chatting with you. Okay. Two more things, Kai. All right. So, and you discussed it a little bit, but I'd specifically love to hear how you overcame like certain fears and challenges when it comes to, the purpose that you're walking in now. Is there anything specific that you can kind of relate to be like, this is something that I overcame and now it's been worth it?
I don't think I've completely overcome fear. Or I've completely realized what my purpose is in this life. I think it's constantly evolving, and at every new level, new things are scary, right? New fears come up. You discover old wounds that you never addressed, and you're like, "Oh, I'm still afraid of that." But I think the one thing I've learned that's helped me overcome or keep going, and I learned this from Amina Gerba, who's the only Black woman in the Senate here in Canada. She said something, and she said, "True influence is service." And when she said that, I was like, "Oh yeah, that's where I try to, what I always try and turn to is how can I serve, whether it's serve the the younger version of me, like what would I have needed at this time? Or the person who's in front of me, what can I give them so that when they turn around, like they have a tool to move forward in a better way? And I think just focusing on that makes anything I'm afraid of less scary. Or overcoming it, I'm more motivated to overcome it. I have more discipline to overcome it because I know that the reason why I'm doing it is to serve myself, one, the younger version of me, or the person in front of me. And there's a purpose behind that. And I think just moving in that direction or with that in mind, with that foundation, will eventually get me to my purpose, hopefully.
Now that's definitely a wonderful answer and something that helps us continue on in this journey and or fight if it is a fight for you, but understanding that the service part, the person that you're trying to help, the younger person that needs your information or the older person who is pivoting, and a lot of the things that I go through and that I share with other individuals and even for you as well, having that service aspect at the forefront of your mind helps you find the right motivation to keep going. Money's great every now and then, don't get me wrong. But when it comes down to it, it's not what's going to sustain you. It's really not what people are going to talk about you about when it's all said and done. But how you showed up and how you served other individuals. So I really appreciate that. I don't think I gave you the heads up on this. Hopefully you knew. But if you don't, I like to ask every guest to give three tips that you would give someone maybe looking to be in your position or something that you just want to share in general, but just three tips that people can implement into their lives according to, you know, what you have on your heart.
First thing that comes to mind is tell your story. However that comes naturally to you. Some of us like to write. Some of us like to take pictures. Some of us like to film videos. And when I say tell, it's not necessarily put it on the internet and create content just for yourself to document the journey that you're living in life. I would say find a way to reduce the time between when you have an idea and when you execute it. And I'm sharing this because I'm telling myself this, right? When you have an idea, just do it. Just do it. Like all the researching, all the calling up a friend, like, what do you think? Is this good? Like, just do it, right? You learn so much more from doing it than from going around and basically looking for the reasons why you can't do it. And lastly, clean your phone camera, please. And you're going to pick up your phone to film that video. Just see that? Just wipe it. Just clean it.
That's wonderful. It's a great mind. I think it's second nature to me now. Like literally every time I'm just like, I love that. Listen, I want to thank you so much for spending this time with me, with us today. I'd like to ask you to please mention all of the places and spaces that we can follow, support, engage. People engage means like comment, like stuff like that with you and what you have to offer.
My name is Afueli on all platforms. So it's underscore AFOALI. And then if you find me on one platform, you'll find me everywhere else and you'll see the other things that I'm doing. I mainly share about storytelling through video, currently focused on tips for beginners. So if you're someone who's been making videos, you're someone who is making videos, things I'm sharing are way too basic for you. If you're someone who's just getting started and you're like, I want to find the fastest and easiest ways to start telling my story through video, come through. I have a lot of tips for you and I can't wait to create videos with you. That aside, I am passionate about the African continent. That's where I'm from and that's where I'm going in the long run. So if you're watching this and you're on the African continent, please follow me because I want to create with you. That's about it.
I would say that even if there are basic tips, if everybody can learn from them. You showed me how to put my blurry background on Instagram. And I was like, oh, there's that button. That's wonderful. I needed that. But yeah, please give her a follow. Give her a shout. Last question for you. What is next?
What is next is what I just mentioned. Home, the African continent. I am so grateful for everything that Canada has given me and will continue to give me. by the end of the day, that's where I'm from, and that's where the world is going. If you want to be blown away, check out where the African continent will be in terms of population and age by 2050. We have a lot of potential, and the only way that we'll realize that potential is if people like me who are from there go back and do the work. So that's where I'm heading. That's
All right, well, when you put something together, let me know. I'll come out there too.
Right. 916 Academy is also next.
Hey, let's go. Well, listen, folks, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. If you are a unicorn and you know somebody else that's a unicorn, please put them in contact with me. I love to continue to have this conversation. And until next time, we will see you.